Teachers sprinkled throughout the auditorium had to shake a few sleeping students and shush some whispered gossip sessions, but overall, the kids did a pretty good job paying attention as attorneys for the state, the U.S. government, and Central Council offered arguments on both sides of the matter.
In the Stevens versus Parks case, this court looked at the congressional actions to determine whether there was a colorable claim to inherent jurisdiction by the tribe.
Okay, I'm going to try and simplify and summarize here, but keep in mind that this is a very complicated case, and I'm just barely scratching the surface. Basically, the U.S. government gave money to Central Council to set up a tribal child support program. The tribe started issuing child support orders and asked the state to enforce those orders. The state refused, arguing that the tribes don't have jurisdiction over child support. The tribe sued the state in Superior Court and won, and now the state has appealed that decision. Here's Holly Handler of Alaska Legal Services, representing Tlingit and Haida. She argues that tribes already are allowed to decide child custody for members.
So if Central Council can decide where a child can live, who a child should live with, who a child can visit, we know that Central Council has the authority to terminate parental rights in children's cases. So the question here is whether Central Council's authority also includes the ability of Central Council to determine what amount of support is appropriate for a child to receive to meet their basic daily needs.
Attorneys on both sides were led through complicated discussions with the justices over subject matter jurisdiction versus personal jurisdiction. Basically, that's the difference between an issue and an individual. The concern is whether a tribal court has the power to establish how much child support a non-native parent must provide for a child who is a tribal member. Okay, so the case is interesting, but what's fun is that the students were paying attention, and they had questions when it was all over. There were two question sessions, one with just the attorneys and another with the Alaska Supreme Court. Here's one of the questions for the attorneys.
Hi, I'm Cody, and I have a question for...
For the state's attorney, Mary Lundquist.
Why are you against this?
That's my question. Well, I mean...
It's not a question whether the state is against a tribe or against tribal members. It goes to the essential question that was presented in this case. It's a jurisdictional matter, and tribes have they're domestic-dependent nations with limited sovereignty. And applying the test set out by the U.S. Supreme Court, this was our analysis.
When the Supreme Court returned for its question and answer session, a young woman asked Chief Justice Dana Fabe how her experience as a woman has affected her experience on the court. Fabe says everybody's individual life experience is valuable.
We try very hard to set aside our personal views about policy issues and decide the case only based on the facts and on the law, but my experiences as a woman are different in the sense that I'm a wife, I'm a mom, from my male colleagues.
Justice Craig Stowers broke in to point out that Fabe is the first female Alaska Supreme Court justice and the first female chief justice of the state's highest court. Supreme Court Live is a relatively new program, and this is the first time it's come to Ketchikan. The state's highest court has had similar events at high schools in Sitka and Barrow. The program started under former Chief Justice Walter Carpinetti, who retired a couple of years ago. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.